Welcome to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and today we're honoring Roz Turnbull and her family. Roz died on July 4th, 2020, at the age of 77. Roz was the daughter of Bob and Ruth Diddy Perry. So today we're rebroadcasting an interview with her mother, Diddy, who died in 2015 at the age of 96. Diddy Perry was born Ruth Brown Perry in Denver in 1918 amidst the worldwide flu pandemic. That flu pandemic killed over 20 million people worldwide, and during Diddy's first year, 1,500 people died in Denver and 8,000 died across Colorado. Diddy survived and went on to marry Bob Perry in 1940, and in 1941 they established the Mount Soprus Hereford Ranch in Carbondale with Diddy's brother, Darcy Brown Jr. Darcy Jr. eventually left ranching to run the Aspen Ski Co. for 22 years, but Diddy and Bob stayed and worked the ranch for 66 years until Bob's death in 2006. Diddy and Bob were both children of immigrants. Diddy's father was David Robinson Crocker Brown, known to his friends as Darcy. Darcy had immigrated from Canada and made his way to Aspen in 1880. And in a few short years, he amassed a fortune with investments in Aspen mines, banking, power and electrical companies, and ranching. Bob Perry's great-grandparents came to the U.S. from Northern Ireland in the 1840s during Ireland's Great Famine. Bob's grandfather, Sam, came west and made his fortune selling merchandise in the early mining camps. He eventually settled in Denver, and Bob and Diddy grew up just down the street from one another. And you were a miracle baby of sorts, weren't you? You were born in 1918 during the...
I was at the time, yes, during the flu epidemic.
Do you have
my
stories about that?
My mother couldn't even get in the hospital. They were so full.
What are the stories you have about that?
I don't remember too much.
I'm sure you don't. What did your mom tell you?
She had flu, too. And I had the baby at home in Denver.
Well, you were only, what, 4.5 pounds, so it's a... It's a wonder that you made it through.
And they were delighted that they had a little girl. I have three brothers, and they wanted a little girl.
Can you tell me about how your family sort of came to this area?
My father, knowing the way it was in that day and age, they weren't talkative. How he was born in Newcastle, New Brunswick, which is eastern Canada, and how he ended up in Colorado, nobody knows. But he went to work for a man that ran a store that had all the supplies for miners, a little food and all the equipment. They were in Denver. Well, they were in Blackhawk. And they moved to Denver and decided they would start west and see what, they weren't sure where they were going. And they might go to Arizona, but along the way, they heard so much about this new place, Aspen, that they thought, well, we're getting that direction. We might as well look at it. My father took one look at it and never left. And growing up in New Brunswick is just like New England. It's all trees. There's no view. And you get to Aspen, and the country's beautiful, and there's views everywhere, and he absolutely adored it. And there he stayed.
So what did he do when he came to the to this little town, this new little town called Aspen?
He worked for, should have written the name down. He worked for the same man, and he grub-staked quite a few of the miners, which is taking a chance. If they don't pay, he would write it down and they would sign it. And he ended up with some silver mines that they thought weren't any good, and they turned out to be very good. And during the war, the First World War, he put most of his money into land. He thought that was a good place to put it. And he owned a good number of ranches on the western slope, and the Carbondale one was one. And things have a way of just happening. And Bob and I were married in 1940, and he always knew we wanted a ranch. And the people that had rented, they called it, a man named Grubb, had built it up and built a house. And my father bought it from him. And when we came along, the rent for the people that were renting at the moment was up, and so we decided it was a good place to start, and we ended up owning it, and I owned it with three brothers, but slowly but surely we ended up buying them all out. And Bob really loved ranching and loved his cattle and loved his horses, and we had an extremely outstanding life there.
Well, you called it in your book the abundant life. Your grandfather grubstaked these miners in Aspen, and
no, my father.
Your father.
It should be my grandfather, because he was in his 60s when some of us were born, and people, I'm sure, thought of it as my grandfather, but he wasn't. He was my father.
He had a hard time coming into Aspen, didn't he? The story in your
book. Terrible time. 3 months from Denver to Aspen, and the road was, well, there was just a trail part of the time, and they couldn't get over Independence with a wagon at that point, and so they went over Taylor Pass, which was not much better. They had to keep lowering the wagon over the cliffs, and it was a very difficult trip, but they made it to Aspen and decided that's where they wanted to be and stayed.
Well, in the way you describe it in your book, they had to disassemble the wagons and take
two different times
everything across the river piece by piece.
And just piece by piece, down over cliffs and big rocks, and it worked out. It worked out well. And he certainly, Aspen was his life. He loved it. And there were most people, when they made their money in Aspen, departed when silver sank to the bottom. And he didn't. He said, nope, this is where I am living, and this is where it is.
Well, what was it like for him, though, after everything was shut down?
He was head of the bank, and he helped a lot of people through the Depression. And he stayed right where he was. And then he died in 1930.
You were just a young kid then, weren't you? You were 11 when your father mm-hmm. died.
Yeah.
What was that like for you?
It's like it is for anybody. We were a family that did a lot of things together, and he had always taken us camping in the summertime, and we had a strong family life.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to an extended version of Immigrant Stories. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my guest today is Diddy Brown Perry.
What was your father like? How would you describe him?
Well, I think the one that was most like him was Darcy, and I think Darcy ran the ski corp exactly the way my father would have too. And he enjoyed doing what he did, and it turned out well. I mean, none of us really believed this Aspen was going to amount to anything. It was a fun place to ski.
Aspen was pretty much a ghost town after the silver.
Well, it was a nice town. It was a little town, and I loved it. Huh. In 1937, I was out of high school, and I hadn't gone to college. And we went to Maroon Lake and skated on the lake there. There was no snow. And it was just wonderful. We had the most wonderful New Year's Eve party I think I've ever been to. And that was long ago. I stayed out one more year, and then I thought, well, I probably better go to college. And I did.
Tell me about your mother. What was she like?
My mother was a very gracious, very... they were both alike in one way. It wasn't an affectionate family, but it was a well-understood family. And to me, I knew something was lacking, and I didn't know what. And I knew when I had a family of my own, I'd find out what, and it wasn't lacking. But my father felt he was a self-made man, didn't need the Lord in his life, and passed that on to the boys, and the boys wouldn't dream of going. Nobody ever went to church. Christmas was just another day. I knew I wanted something different, and I made my life very different from that.
Well, you are a woman of deep faith, but you've said before that and life has a way of helping strengthen your faith.
And I think that's the main part of a family is their faith. I've been very, very blessed with a wonderful family. In fact, I've been just very blessed with a wonderful husband and wonderful dogs. I've had a horse ever since I've been 5 years old, and Bob was brought up with horses. His grandparents lived in Denver, and they lived on Grant Street, and they had horses in a carriage on Grant Street, and life was different in Denver in that day and age. Streets weren't paved, and Bob rode twice a week with his grandparents.
Well, and you lived not too far from Bob's family, right? Didn't your family have a home there as well?
Yep, we lived a block apart, and it was a wonderful block. The one family across the street had 7 children, and we had a very nice, good place to grow up in, and I went to school with Bob's sister, and Bob went to school with one of my brothers.
So Bob was a childhood friend of yours.
Yeah, absolutely. We spent as much time at the Perrys as I did at home. And Bob's mother was just one in a million. And his father was in the background always. It was sad. His grandfather did not believe in vacations. If you went to work, you went to work, period. And so Bob rarely saw his father, but was quite close to his grandfather.
Work was an important part of life back then, though, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
You had to work hard.
It was the essential. And
was your father that way? Was he a hard worker?
He was a hard worker and believed in... I must say, it certainly passed off on all the children because all my brothers and myself were all early risers and we're all... some ways we had a very strong family life, and some ways we didn't, like every family.
What ways were the strong part? What were the strong parts of your life
strong
together?
Parts, everybody had to be on time. Everybody had to be neat. Everybody had to do well with what they were doing,
and
not halfway do it. If you're going to do it, do it.
And one of the things you would have changed is a stronger faith.
Oh. A faith and warmth.
Oh, there was some of that was lacking, huh?
I grew up in a house that they locked up tight every time they went out. I just live a very different type of life that way.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to an extended version of Immigrant Stories. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my interview today is with Diddy Brown Perry.
So one of the things that you learned, and we all learn... Though sometimes we learn those lessons, our parents teach us in a negative way what we don't want to do. So what you wanted to do was to be more open and more loving and embrace life more.
And have people in. I never remember my Auntie Potter, my mother's sister, had a house. My father bought a house for her in Aspen, and she lived right across. We had a big yard and a tennis court and another big yard for her. And... we never had her for a meal. She was all by herself, and I never, I don't remember anybody coming to our house ever for a meal. And I've had the opposite effect. I have an open door, and I have to count the number of people at the table to know how many I have.
Tell me stories about your Aunt Annie Potter. She was quite a character, wasn't she?
She was a real character. She spoke three languages extremely well and stayed in her bedroom in the morning and read aloud in all the different languages and kept her languages up, wrote her letters and did all that, and came downstairs for lunch. And she led a very, very different life. And she had, we had a wonderful gardener in Aspen, and they were Italian, and his wife didn't speak any English. And she had the wife to tea often and kept up her Italian talking to her. Huh. And we just had a wonderful place in Aspen. When we sold it to the Pepkes, they gave the lake and that lower part all to the town, and which is where it belongs too, so that everybody can enjoy it. And it is nice. And we had a milk cow and horses and a barn. If you wanted to ride, you learned to saddle early and you learned to catch your own horse. And it was good.
So you split your time between Aspen and Denver.
Yep.
I
went to school in Denver, but I couldn't wait till we went to Aspen for the summer.
Oh, yeah, that must have been
incredible. It seemed like we were there for a long time, 3 months, and now summer comes and goes.
Yeah.
Before you know it.
So this young boy, Bob, that was just somebody that you played with on the streets in Denver. Tell me about how you suddenly discovered that you really loved this guy.
It wasn't until we were totally grown and he'd gone off to college, and I finally got myself off to college, and I thought, I kept thinking, well, my goodness, I better take the one that I think is just top notch, and Bob was at loose ends. He left college, decided he'd try to make the ski team for the Olympics, and he tried out for it, and he just missed it. So that took care of that. And then we decided that we got together. He left college in the middle of the year. He never went back after Christmas. And I went 1 year and decided, no, I don't think I'll do this. And I should have gone ahead and finished, but I did not. And so neither of us finished college, and we both had a great life.
Well, you'd announced your marriage, right, in Aspen.
Yeah, we had to call his mother.
Were the Perrys as a family, were they more warm and...
Much more. And, you couldn't have Bob's mother and not have a warm household. And it was very warm and very open. I think that's probably something that I really knew was lacking in our family, was warmth, and there was bountiful of it in Bob's family.
So tell me the story about, you announced your wedding, but then you got another idea. Tell me about that idea. You and Bob decided to do something else.
Oh, when we got married, we decided we'd better do something. And we were pretty footloose at that point. And he owned some land out there where his father had homesteaded. And it's south of, it's about halfway between Steamboat and Hayden, south of Steamboat. And it had a little cabin on it. It had two rooms and no electricity, no running water, nothing like that. And we lived there, and I had never cooked, but Bob had cooked, so that was helpful.
Well, what was that like going from a place where there were lots of rooms in the house and everything was done for you to a two-room cabin?
you go with the flow.
That was quite a flow, though.
There's an incentive to learn.
And especially when you're so in love, right?
Yes.
Well, what was cooking like? Tell me a cooking story. What was the early cooking days?
Bob really did teach me how to cook. That did help. And then as one daughter-in-law, like one granddaughter-in-law said to me one time, she said, well, anybody can learn to cook. They can read a cookbook. And Bob's mother had given us a cookbook, so I had all the starting points.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to an extended version of Immigrant Stories. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher. And my interview today is with Diddy Brown Perry.
So you announced you fully intended to get married in the church, right?
But then you had another idea. No, we were going to be married in Aspen in the garden because it's such a pretty spot. We were going to be married in August. And I don't know, we talked it over. And Bob was blissfully happy not to have a big wedding. And I was too. Neither of my parents were living. And this was much simpler.
So you eloped.
We eloped. And I'm sure that the judge that married us really didn't have much hope for it. We were both pretty young.
Well, was part of that, you just didn't want all of the trappings of a big wedding and mm-hmm. all the... It's sort of the way you have defined your life from then. You defined it at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And you want a simpler life. Is that fair to say?
That we wanted just something down to earth and plain. And we got it.
Well, I don't know that
life has been down to earth and plain too, which is good.
Yeah, from reading your book, it wasn't all that plain. It was pretty full and rich and
well, it was an ended, really a wonderfully interesting life. For me, it suited me well. And ranching was the perfect answer.
Why? What was it about ranching that was the perfect answer to this?
Perfect
new
answer
life?
For our lives. Bob knew that's what he wanted to do from time since he was a little boy. He knew he wanted to ranch.
Well, your dad got off. Not only was he a banker and a financier, he was also a cattleman, right? Your dad?
The difference there, my father was in ranching due to the fact in a business way. Bob was in ranching because he loved it. He loved the animals. He loved the way of life. And he was good. He kept a good office and he was good that way too. But ranching was his love in life. And it was not my father's. None of us had ever seen any of the ranches.
So your father had all of these ranches that
and
he owned.
We didn't see any of them.
So he never spent time on them.
No. Nope.
The
worst thing about it is we drove always, took a long time to drive. I have a picture of driving to Aspen. No windows, no anything, just open air cars. We drove through Carbondale. There was this beautiful ranch. Should we ever stop and look at it? No, my father was exactly the opposite of Bob. If he was going to Aspen, he was going to Aspen and nothing else. He one-track mind. I never saw the Carbondale Ranch. There was no mention of Mount Sopris. We just kept driving on to Aspen. And which is sad because it would have been nice if we had stopped and spent a half a day at the ranch and seen what was there and what it was like.
Well, and you said that in your book that you never felt like you really had a conversation with your father.
Never. I never had a conversation with him. So very different.
So you and Bob started your life together, did you intend to have a large family or did it just sort of happen?
We intended to have a large family. And we did have a large family. It worked out very well.
What is it about this life, this ranch life, that is so spiritual?
It certainly doesn't have to be, but it certainly can be. And it's something you can't give to children. It's something that they have to find for themselves. And some do and some don't. And so you never know how it's going to work out in the end.
Tell me about Bob. What was so special about this man that you spent your life with?
His patience, for one thing. And he just had amazing patience. And not like he took the burnt toast either, in a very nice way. And it's so fortunate because he found a job that he really, really loved. And I found one that I really loved. So it worked out extremely well.
That was Ruth Diddy Perry. Diddy died in the spring of 2015. And her daughter, Roz Turnbull, remembered her at the time for her enthusiasm, her incomparable hospitality, and her faith and warmth. This week, Roz is being remembered for her warmth and kindness and her ability to find the best in people and in life. Both women lived what Diddy often referred to as the abundant life, and we're all the better for it.